90s. They didn't even try to hide it. There was maths 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There you go, Nath. That's your seat right there. It's terrible being in math 7. It's kind of, I felt a little bit sometimes like teachers are giving up on us, you know? Sitting in math 7, thinking, why are we doing crossword puzzles in math 7? I didn't even know crosswords were math. Suppose there's a number right there. That's all we did. Teacher would come in and he'd be like, right, here's a crossword puzzle. If you complete it, you can go to lunch. If not, stay in here all day, I don't care. Then he'd start reading his newspaper. I'd be thinking, man, a dog that begins with B. Oh, man, it was hard. All my friends would say, oh, that's easy in math 7. You guys do crossword puzzles. I found it difficult. Okay? And then once we got this substitute teacher and she was really optimistic, she's like, you guys, even though you're in math 7, if you tried hard and applied yourselves, you could beat maths 1 in the math test coming up. You could beat them. Thinking, God bless you. You know, you're optimistic. I'm looking around thinking, no one in this room's going to beat anyone in maths 1 at math. Maybe we could beat math 1 in a fight? Like if you could tee up some kind of playground brawl, yeah, we'd be favourites. Or maybe we could beat math 1 at, like, you know, like a board game. But nothing too intellectual, like not Monopoly. Maybe we could beat them at Hungry Hungry Hippos. We'd have a shot. You know what I mean? God bless her. She was optimistic. She thought she was McKay Pfeiffer from that movie. Thought she was going to make a difference. God bless her. All the young people go, what's a McKay Pfeiffer? Don't worry about it. I haven't got time. Galatians 2. Michelle Pfeiffer. What did I say? Actually, it wasn't just the young people. Everyone was going, what's a McKay Pfeiffer? Is that even a thing? Man, does this guy even read the Bible? All right, if you got a Bible, Galatians 2. Galatians 2:20. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer. She was in a movie in the 90s. What was it called? Dangerous Minds. That's right. I'm talking about this way more than I plan to. Basically, she was an optimistic teacher. She came to a school, hung out with a bunch of kids who were a bit dumb and off the tracks and stuff, and she helped them. They achieved things in life. And in the end, everyone was happy. There was hugs. People were crying. It was like real life, only not. She gave everyone an A, did she? Oh, she threw an A there, keep it. Wow, that's good. Yeah. I don't know, it's crazy. But it's a movie. All right? Doesn't have to be real. Yeah. In real life, what happens is, you know, nothing. Nothing changes. Verse 20, this is what it says. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. I mean, this is the perspective of the Christian. You know, it's like, it's no longer I that live. I've just been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And when you approach life like this, man, it changes the way you live. But no one listens to me. Nobody cares about my opinion. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody understands me. It's amazing how many me's a Christian can have in one sentence. But I'd encourage you, it's no longer I. And when you have the no longer I, life makes sense. Because you're taking the path of Jesus. There's a path of Jesus. There's a path of self. And the path of Jesus, and when you start to approach the world, it's no longer I. I just want to bless. I want to encourage. I want to be there for people. I want to do something. I want to make a difference. You begin to live not for yourself. You live for others. Make decisions that are going to help. You know, if you're working in a workplace, you could actually, you could stay in your business even though it's not going well in the pay because you just want to bless the employer. Like even if there's a better paying job across the street. In your family, you know what? In your family, you can begin to not think about how noisy the kids are and how you're getting us. You can begin to live for your kids. You can begin to live for your wife. You can begin to think, what kind of husband do I need to be? What kind of dad do I need to be? And you begin to take on the mindset of Christ, begin to live for others. And so often, the great future God has for you is down the path that looks like a cross. The Bible says those that want to save their life will lose it. But those who just lay down their life will find it. And I tell you, there's a path that's selfless and it leads to life. And it looks like a disaster. but leads to life. So many people that I've seen over the years have seen us the partner they always dreamt of finding. They could never meet girls. I could never meet a guy. Never meet a guy. I can't find it. Where are all the Christian men who have got half a brain? Where are they? Where do they hide them? Are they in a certain church somewhere? Where are these guys? They must be out there somewhere. This mythical figure. It's like hunting a unicorn. Where are these guys? All I want. The guy loves Jesus and has half a brain. It's not a long list. And then, but you know what? That's amazing over the years of saying, you know what? I'm just over it, Lord. I don't care if I never meet anyone. I don't care if I just never get married. I'm just going to serve you. And they begin to serve Jesus. They begin to serve into a ministry area. And then wouldn't you know it? God brings along some guy. Wouldn't you know it? And it's amazing when you can just lay it down. It's amazing how God can open it up. And we would try and do things in our own strength. And if I could just do this and get that and do this and get that. Oh, when you just let it go, God opens it. God opens it up. And God will open doors in your life. In church life, let's be this. The life that I now live in the body. I live by faith. When the Bible's speaking about the body, it's speaking about the church, the people, the body of Christ, all the people in the community. And when you're in the body, you just do what can be a blessing. You know, like in your body, all of the parts of your body are blessing the body. The heart's not trying to figure out how it can be its own man. Because the heart kind of needs the other bits, and the other bits need the heart. And when the heart is like, no, I'm just going to send blood all around the body, I'm going to do my bit. And then the feet start saying, yeah, I'm just going to do my bit. And when all the body begins to serve the body, everything goes well. The only way it would be a disaster if the hand is like, oh, I'm not going to put food in the mouth. Forget the mouth. I'm sick of the mouth. All I ever do is put food in the mouth. And do I get any respect? No. When was the last time the mouth did anything for me? I'm getting food, I put it in the mouth. That's all I do. Like a slave. That's it. No more food and no more mouth. What would happen to the hand? It would eventually die. Because it's all a part of the same. The hand would start to die. It would get skinny. For a little while, you'd look like a fashion model. And then you would die. That's fun. You guys are fun. You know, like do you know how many times I've preached once in a church and never been invited back? Like so many times. If there were stats on that, I'd be the leader of that. I'd be on the top of the world. And the all-time number one stat leader for not being invited back, Nathan Wren. I wish there was stats. That'd be good. You know what? Let's be those people. You know what annoys me, though? I'll tell you something. You know what annoys me? I'm terrified to fly. You know what bothers me? Every time I fly, I'm always behind two people. And I'm so afraid of flying. And there's always two people who are like got more luggage than they're meant to have. You know what I mean? Like they're making the plane heavier. Upsets me. It bothers me. You know what I mean? Like if the plane people, the plane experts, whatever they're called, I'm not sure what their technical name is, but the people who know planes, if their plan is that everyone can have 20 kilos, which I think is more than enough, right? We're flying through the sky here, right? When the plane gets to the end of the runway, I want it to be light enough to just go up into the sky. That's what I want. Every time I'm in the line, some guy in front of me is like, oh, last time I fly Jetstar, money 3 kilos over. What's wrong with you people? 3 kilos. When I was with Qantas, they let me have it. Thinking, man, what do you even need 3 tennis rackets for? Like, we're coming back from America. Don't they sell tennis rackets in Australia? You can buy them in Australia. Bothers me. Get back to Australia. It's like, what's this guy going to be like? Oh, check these out. I bought these in America. Oh, what are they called, Tony? Oh, these are called tennis rackets. Wow. Gee, I wish we had these in Australia. I'm sick of playing tennis just with a stick, you know? Thanks for bringing them, mate. These are awesome. Wow. Don't worry that you risked everybody's life by making the plane too heavy. Bothers me that guy. Every time I fly, I'm always 10 kilos. I'm 10 kilos under. 10 kilos under. And I just do that to make the plane a little lighter, just in case I'm on board with hundreds of these morons. And that's my little service to the other passengers. You're welcome. other passengers. I'm going to fly through the sky. Hey, check out this. There's one more quote I want to give you guys, and then we're gonna wrap it up. Maybe you could do another item for us or something, or do something. Do you reckon you could sing another song? Or yeah. Maybe another song. I love this quote here. Check it out. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved at once. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems solved at once. You think you got 1,000 problems? You got one problem. I can't find a boyfriend. I don't get enough hours. I'm failing in my exams. My career's not going to work out. I've heard there's no jobs. Even when I finish my degree, I'm not going to get a job. No one understands me. My friends don't like me. Blah, 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 blah. You don't have 1,000 problems. You got one problem. God is down the back of the line somewhere when he's supposed to be here. And when you seek first God and just begin to serve in the church and begin to serve God and begin to make a difference, it's amazing all the other problems just aren't even problems. God is able to solve your problems more than you are. Man, I was in math 7. I didn't finish high school. I can't spell, but God had a future for me. And God was able to do more than I could ever have done. I had a friend from school over at my house. He was having a barbecue with me. He thinks I'm involved in some kind of organized crime. He's thinking, how do you live here? But God is able. God is able to do more than you can do. And I love living a life above my natural ability. My natural ability is somewhere down here on the intellectual level of some of your pets. But God has been living up here. And I tell you what, God is able. Some of you have trusted too much in education. Some of you have trusted too much in your intellect. Some of you have trusted too much in your connections. Some of you have trusted too much in your abilities. Why don't you begin to trust in the Lord? Because it's all I know. It's all I know. I was dumb enough to trust in the Lord. It's all I know. And I'll tell you, God is able to do more than you could hope or imagine. I once had an English teacher come to our church when we were in the sports center. He came along. Remember that? And I was like, has this been recorded? Okay, I won't say. And I said, hey. Make up a name. Oh. That's a real person too, Beck. Mr. T. Mr. T. Mr. T. Hey, Mr. T. What are you doing here? He's like, I'm tired of all you fools. Come on. And I say, what's going on, Mr. T? How come you're here? Do you believe in Jesus? He said, no. I just heard that you were doing this, and I had to see this for myself. Yeah. So people want to hear what you say. But I tell you what, God is able to do more than you can do. God is able to lift you beyond your expectations. God is able to move beyond what you are capable of. And I'd encourage you this week, let's get God back on the first thing. You don't have 1,000 problems, you got one problem. You don't have 1,000, you got one problem. When did God go from here to here to here to here to then at the back of the line, and you've got all your hope in these things, and there are all those things you hope, they're hopeless. And I love the church. You know why? Because when I was a high school dropout with no qualifications and could hardly read and can hardly even speak correctly and had no future, you know what? The education system had failed me, and they didn't care less. And the universities didn't want me. And Christian schools wouldn't even let me in. But I tell you what, when all these things, where were the atheists back then? They didn't care about me or want me around. Where were the academics back then? Where was the music industry back then? Where was the financial sector back then? Nobody had a care for me, but the Church of Jesus Christ welcomed me in. The Church of Jesus Christ gave me a future. The Church of Jesus Christ raised me. The Church of Jesus Christ lifted me up. And when all those people were nowhere to be seen, the Church of Jesus Christ saved my life. And that story is happening in every country on earth millions of times over. Disenfranchised, throwaway, human trash, rescued by the church. And so today, no one speaks bad about the church when I'm in the room. The church, she raised me. She loved me. And all the experts on Facebook talking about the church, they don't know nothing like what the church does every single day in every single country all around the world, restoring, redeeming, and rescuing people. And Hollywood now is having shots at the church, you know, pot shots at the church. Man, when Hollywood was, this great quote, I was off show. There's a guy called Oscar Romero. He was a Catholic priest, Mexican guy, and the people were being brutalized and oppressed by businesses. He rescued them, he unionized them, he lifted them up, he fought back. He ended up being killed by some business, probably by some huge company. Powerful, incredible leader in the church. He was a homeless kid. They educated him, they welcomed him in, they lifted him up, he became an incredible influence. And today there's murals with Oscar Romero. And at the same time, Hollywood is taking shots at the church all the time. Every time a Spanish guy was in a Hollywood movie in the 80s, he was either a gangster or a drug dealer. When did those guys get on their high horse? But the Church of Jesus Christ, rescuing and redeeming. We're going to finish with a song. Why don't you guys come and play a song? I'm going to pray for you. Don't worry about that. But I don't know what that is. It happens every now and then, and we just pretend we didn't hear it. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray for you. Lord, right now I pray for everyone in this building. Lord, we're sorry for trying to seek success and fortune and everything without you. We come back to you, Lord. We put you first. Have your way in our life this morning. Have your way this week. In Jesus' name, amen.